spirit of the Lord is just right, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, when I first meet Brother Leo, I thought that was a stranger man. But he's no stranger now. I pray that God will bless him. From the feet to the head.
Yeah, feet to the head.
Well, that is the way the Lord blesses. From the feet to the head. I'm glad to be here today. I'm glad to get a chance to talk to my people. This is kind of the land of my nativity.
Yes, it is.
This is all I know. It's my claim to fame right here. I don't desire anything else. There is a spirit that sets you free. And there is a spirit that binds you up. And there's a vast difference between the two.
Right.
The Lord, a long time ago, separated the light from the darkness.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
And there may be times that things get pretty cloudy. The separation is still there.
Right.
The light has been separated from the darkness. Now, the things that the Lord decrees, nobody gets by that. Men can decree things and can make laws and things like this, and somebody's going to get around it. Somebody's going to do it. But what the Lord decrees, you don't get around that. And his ways are equal. I think sometime about time. It's just about the most constant thing we know of. 24 hours every day, no difference. It's always been that way. And yet, in our mind, it seems like that sometimes time is long and sometimes it's short. In reality, it's constant.
Yeah.
The word of the Lord is constant.
Yes, it is.
It means the same thing to me that it means to you. And I don't have any loopholes that I can work around the scriptures,
no
more than you do.
No.
And what the word of the Lord says to one, it says to all. There's many things that I want to say we get confused about. I'll say that I get confused about. I don't know about the rest of you. But there's a few things in the scriptures that leaves little room for confusion. When the scripture says that thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength, that applies to every generation, to every phase of your life. If you're a young man, if you're a middle-aged man, if you're an old man, that thing is constant. You're not going to get around that one. And it also says that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Our responsibility to the Lord and our responsibility to each other is what this whole thing is about. And if we fulfill the royal law that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, thou doest well. If the Holy Spirit fills you, you can smile. And, Uncle Ray's preaching the other morning just kind of hit the spot with me. And then I thought George Miller's that night was so pretty. I suppose that the Lord could have sent Christ into the world immediately after the fall. I suppose he could have done that. But for his loving kindness to the children of men, he spent many years with his people, causing things to happen, causing them to be tried in a natural manner, that we might see it and take instruction in a spiritual way.
That's right.
And I think it's all right to go back there and see how they did. Now, I'll tell you one thing I believe. I believe the Lord can turn a situation completely around. I think we have records in the Bible where the Lord did this. I think immediately of Haman and Mordecai. Haman really thought, he really was convinced that he had that thing going his way. And when they said, when he thought within himself, now who would the king desire to honor more than me? You know, that's one of the most dangerous things you can get a hold of, is to put that much importance on yourself. That's about the most dangerous thing I know of can happen to you, to put that much importance on yourself. The kingdom of God is going on, whether you go or whether you don't go. The kingdom of the Lord has been decreed. Of the increase of his kingdom, there shall be no end. There's no such thing as the thing coming to naught. It cannot come to naught. The Lord put it in action, and it's here today. And the people that get a hold of it is people that are willing to sacrifice their self. To sacrifice their self and get low enough to receive the blessings from heaven. Now, the world goes on and things happen and things come about and you observe this and you look at that and you sometimes wonder, but the kingdom of God is constant. Whether you think it's victorious, whether you think it's declining, it's constant. It's constant. And that kind of makes me feel better. I think people want to get a hold of something that they can depend on. Things change so fast, and styles change, and fashions change, and people change, and structures change. But the word of the Lord will never change. And the way that the Lord deals with people, as Uncle Paul said last night, the Holy Ghost coming on people, the humility that people have to exercise to get in touch with that, to receive that, will always be that way. It'll never change. And you might get like Elijah said, Lord, they've killed your prophets, and tore down your altars, and they seek my life, and he'd run out under a tree, and what am I going to do? I'm the only one left. The Lord said, no, you're not. No, you're not. I got 7,000 men that have not bowed their knee to the image of Baal nor kissed his image.
That's right.
That's what the Lord said to him. Even so, at this day, there is a remnant according to the election of grace, not of works, but of grace. Today, the Bible says that, even this day there is a remnant according to the election of grace. Well, anyway, I want to read just a few verses. I'm not going to take up much time. I really enjoyed Miss Minnie's talk. But to read back in the scriptures and see the way the Lord worked with his people, it does me good. It kind of stirs me. I like to see the way the Lord worked. A lot of times the people didn't understand what he was doing. And reading it from the front end, if you didn't know the latter end of the story, it'd be hard to understand. But as you follow it on through and see how the Lord was working and how he brought everything about. When they took Joseph down there, sold him into Egypt, his brethren, they conspired against him. They intentionally did that. They said he's this dreamer of dreams, and he thinks that we're all going to bow down to him, and my daddy loves him better than he does, and he really did. My daddy loves him better than he does the rest of us, and we're going to get rid of him. And so they dropped him in the pit, and they thought that was all over with. But the Lord turned that situation around, and it didn't take him long. Joseph went down in there, and he was giving up. He had no defense. There was nothing he could do. What could he do? The Midianites come along there, and they sold him, and they took him down into Egypt, and they put him in a dungeon, and they put him into prison. What defense did he have? The Lord was his defense. That's all he had. And he called on the Lord in the dungeon, and the Lord was with him. The Lord was with him in the dungeon. And time went on, and the Lord strengthened him. The Lord blessed him. And he brought him to great honor in the land and the kingdom of the Egyptians. And it wasn't long till instead of him being bowed down before his brethren were bowed down before him.
Right.
And I say that there is an excellent spirit that people can get a hold of.
Yes, sir. Right.
Not a trace of revenge.
No.
Not a trace of revenge will you find in the reading of that scripture.
No.
But he did everything he could to help his brethren.
Right.
Although they had done him the way they did.
Yeah.
He didn't even feel like it was them that done it. He said, the Lord has done this to sustain life. Well, they tear it on there. Small band at first. Sold into Egypt. But the Lord blessed.
Yes,
the Lord was there.
Yeah.
You can't do nothing against the truth.
No.
You do something against the truth, you're doing something against yourself.
Yeah. That's right.
The truth is going on.
Yeah.
It's got to go on. It knows no defeat. It's constant. It'll be here when you're gone. It'll be here when I'm gone.
Yeah,
and if we get a hold of it, it'll cause us to be victorious.
Yeah.
And if we're too natural-minded and looking too much at the things around us, we might think that it's thrown in the street.
Yeah.
But it's not. The word of the Lord is powerful. But anyway, down into this thing about the people down there, 430 years they served under the bondage of Pharaoh. Oppressed, afflicted, and yet they grew.
Right.
Yet they multiplied. The Lord can be with people in affliction.
That's right.
We don't have no guarantee that we're going to ride on the high mountains of Israel all of our life long. In fact, quite to the contrary, I think we need to get a foundation when we're young that we'll be able to battle a few storms.
Yeah.
If we think that we're going that way, our journey's going to be short.
That's right.
But we're going to have to get something inside of us that'll carry us through.
Right.
When I think about this, it seems to me like that it would make you humble in triumph and courageous in defeat. And that's where that constant thing is. That's
right.
Where it is. When things are going well for us, we might just well consider that the Lord has set the one against the other, that men might fear before him. But anyway, Pharaoh made a charge to the people. Because of the multitude of this people that had went down there to get corn in Egypt, after 430 years, they was outnumbering the Egyptians.
Yeah.
The Lord had blessed them.
Yeah.
In spite of all the bondage of what they were under, in spite of the hard task that they were serving under, they still were multiplying.
Yeah.
They were lively people.
Yeah.
And the Spirit of the Lord made them to increase.
Right.
And Pharaoh sent out a decree that all the male children should be cast into the river. Think about that one. Think about that one. But the Lord reversed that situation.
Yeah.
And in this time, I think about this mother of Moses. When she hid that baby 3 months and she could no longer hide him, she went down to the river and cast her baby into the river. The difference between what she did and maybe what some of the others did, she did in the fear of God more than in the fear of Pharaoh.
Yeah.
She cast her baby in the river too. She did. And I think about sometimes in life we want to hold on to things.
Yeah.
We just want to hold on. And there are times we have to let go. We tell the people at the altar that, you know, you got to turn loose. You got to let go. You got to trust the Lord. We don't get above that. We have to let go. And it went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi, and the woman conceived and bare a son, and when she saw him that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months.
Yeah.
And when she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein, and she laid him in the flags by the river's brink. And I, you know, we sing a song sometimes, the hand of God in all of my life I see.
Yeah.
I can just see the hand of the Lord just cradling that ark of bulrushes.
Yeah.
Put it right where he wanted it to go.
Yeah.
I don't know what kind of feeling that woman had in her heart, but I imagine she had a little conversation going with the Lord.
Yeah.
I just imagine she did. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done unto him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept.
Yeah.
And she had compassion on him, yeah, and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' yeah. children." Now, I believe the Lord will give people respect in the sight of their enemies.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not going to read all of this, but you know how the story goes. You know, even when Moses, those people came out of the land of Egypt on the self-same day.
Yeah.
430 years to the day.
Yeah.
Just like the Lord had promised.
That's right.
Now, it was about 80 years from this time that Moses was born until he came back to lead that mighty host of Israel out of the land of bondage. He tried one time, and you know the story about killing the Egyptian, and he fled at that saying and dwelt. He was 40 years old at that time, and he dwelt another 40 years. Well, it looked like time was just going on an uncharted course, but it wasn't. The Lord knew exactly. He knew to the day. He knew exactly what he was doing, and it was the Lord that did it.
Yeah.
It wasn't necessarily Moses that did it. It wasn't necessarily the people that lived in that time. They were humble enough to let the Lord have his way, but the Lord did it.
Yeah.
Now, when people get their confidence in the Lord,
yeah.
it gives you stability.
Yeah.
It gives you humility in the face of triumph. It gives you stability in any other circumstance of life.
Yeah.
And I thank the Lord for that.
Yeah.
But anyway, these people continued to grow. Moses kind of, he was the meekest man, I think the scripture says, but yet he did kind of converse with the Lord a little more than Abraham did. Moses said, "Lord, I can't do this. The Israelites won't even hearken to me. They won't even listen to what I say. And how much less would Pharaoh listen to me, a man of uncircumcised lips?" But the Lord never changed his mind.
No.
I don't think he ever does.
No.
I don't think he ever does. Even the time when Balaam went back to the Lord and asked permission to go, the Lord gave him permission, but he never changed his mind.
No.
He never did change his mind. I don't think he does today.
No.
And I think the things that we find decreed in the scriptures, there's some things we have to do. We have to exercise humility to make it in the kingdom of the Lord. This kingdom is diverse from any other kingdom. It's not structured like the kingdoms of the world. The power base for this kingdom of the Lord is love. It's humility. The way you get up in this kingdom is by being humble. And instead of promoting yourself to honor, you abase yourself to honor. That's the difference, and there is a difference.
There is a big difference, that's right.
But you know, the Lord told Moses what to do on the night. They had been through all these plagues that the Lord had hardened Pharaoh's heart, and they sent all the things. You know how he turned the rivers into blood? I thought that's a pretty good case of pollution right there. But he turned the dust into lice, and they had frogs all over the place. But the last thing that he did, he smote the firstborn.
Yeah.
This was a reversing of the decree that came out from Pharaoh. Pharaoh was the first one that said this. He was the one that said the firstborn of the Israelites should be killed. But the Lord was the one that came back and said the firstborn of the Egyptians should be killed. And the Lord prepared it. He told them what to do, to take them a lamb of the firstlings of your flock. Take the blood of the lamb, sprinkle it on the posts of your door. I'm going to send an angel through tonight, and he's going to destroy the firstborn of everything in the land, of cattle, of the beasts of the field. And when he came through, he recognized nothing but the blood. He didn't know the Egyptians from the Israelites. He didn't know whether they were wealthy people or poor people. He didn't know whether they were influential or base people. The only thing he recognized was the blood that was on the door. The destruction of the Lord, that's the only thing it recognizes today, is the blood that's on the posts of our door. You know how they ate it? They ate it with their loins girded. They ate it in a hurry. Hastily shall you eat thereof, with your shoes on your feet.
Yeah.
And with bitter herbs shall you eat the Lord's Passover. And that's what we need to do when we get sanctified. We need to eat the word of the Lord hastily. We need to be busy about getting some of the scriptures down in our heart. We need to keep the shoes on our feet and our loins girded. This is the Lord's Passover. And you eat it with unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. That's what you eat the Lord's Passover with. And it came to pass that at midnight the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne, even to the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of the cattle. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptian, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not an house where there was not one dead. The Lord didn't skip over anything. He didn't excuse anybody. And he called for Moses and Aaron by night. Now heretofore, Moses and Aaron had been going to him. They had been petitioning him. But when the Lord got through with this thing, old Pharaoh called for them. He wanted to see those boys. He called for them by night and said, "Rise up and get you forth from among this people, both ye and the children of Israel, and go and serve the Lord as he has said, and take your flocks and take your herds as he has said, and be gone and bless me also." He knew they had power. They was in touch with something that worked. All of his power was gone. He looked up and the whole land was spoiled. And I tell you, when they went out full. They cleaned them. They cleaned them. They borrowed the golds of their the vessels of gold and the silver and the jewels. And when they went out a mighty army. They went out of Egypt land. The Lord had delivered. And I tell you, I believe in the deliverance of the Lord. I believe in the deliverance of the Lord. The Lord's changed many a situation around. I'm not talking about it. This thing is broad in scope. It'll work in your private individual life. It'll work in the lives of two people. It'll work in a crowd of people. It'll work with this whole congregation on his campground. People that love the Lord shall come forth of them all. Now, there's a scripture I read the other day. It says, "Be not overmuch wise." Now, we can go off the deep end, either side. Somebody was talking the other night about driving your automobile. You get off on the left, you're in right much danger there. You get off on the right, where there is no highway, you're in right much danger there. You can go either way. Neither be over wicked, but three or four verses down says, "He that feareth the Lord shall come forth of them all." So there's a middle ground. There's such a thing as temperance that we need in the kingdom of heaven. We need temperance. We need to be able to understand that we don't have the capacity to judge. Do not have the capacity to judge, but I have the capacity to recognize the Spirit of the Lord. When it flows, when it unites, when it binds, when it begins to move and to work, and I feel it in my heart. Now listen, we don't have a time that we're going to be justified in having anything less than an excellent spirit. Never a time. Never a circumstance. Doesn't matter what people do to you. Doesn't matter how ill you're treated. You never have a justified reason to feel hard, to feel bitter. You do not. This thing about the truth coming forth, I thought about Daniel the lion's den, you know. It was not Daniel that got slew by those lions. You know who did? The people that threw him in. It wasn't the Hebrew children that got slew by their fire. It was the people that threw him in. It wasn't Mordecai that got hanged on the gallows. It was the man that built it. Service to the Lord is important. It's not a thing to be taken lightly nor esteemed lightly. But I believe that people in this day and time, in this modern world that we live in, and it's confusing to me. I concede that it is. Many things confuses me. But in this modern world that we live in, there's a spirit from heaven that people can get that will guide you. It'll go with you when you leave this campground. It'll bring you back. It'll cause you to live right while you're gone. It'll keep bitterness out of your heart. It'll keep the old things of Egypt, the garlic, the leek, the things that they eat in the land of Egypt, it'll keep it out. And you can eat on the fatness of the land. That spirit is real. It's as real today. I ride in the truck sometimes and it almost seems like there's somebody else in there with me. I mean another person. I mean, it's that real. It's not altogether... It's not altogether like Paul's conversion was, that you just get struck down and just get knocked out and don't know anything and hear an audible voice. But to me, it's more like a still, small voice that I hear. And I have found that when you make sacrifice to that, you know, did you know you can't have a God without making sacrifice to it? You can't have one. Neither the true God nor any other God. You can't have one without making a sacrifice. That's one of the things that's required. And when you make sacrifice to that spirit, there's a reward. The Lord has loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Ever since there was time immemorial, the Lord has been this way. He's still this way today. And that spirit, when it guides you, it will guide you into all truth. I think the most exemplified manner of that truth coming up, and I had some thoughts about this a few weeks ago, was when they took that Son of God and the maddening crowd slew the man. And without any fanfare, without any proclamation, in the still of the night, that spirit came out of the bonds of that grave. Now, that's the way that I find the Spirit of the Lord is. It lifts you up. It may also bring you down if you need that. But it brings you up. And the Word of the Lord is not bound. You can't put enough restrictions on it to keep it down. You might dampen it. You might slow it down a little. It's kind of sensitive. But you better watch out. It's coming up. And you better be sure it comes up with you attached to it. Our folks pray for me. God bless you.